Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How's it going?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, we've talked about the schedule that's come out from the Titans, and one thing that makes me mad, and I think is so stupid, is the Titans playing the Colts on October the 2nd, and then turn around again and playing them on October the 23rd. What do you think of that? What do you make of the Titans schedule as a whole?
Yeah, it's kind of strange that they get probably the best rivalry or two most competitive teams out of the way so early. That was interesting. It's kind of like what they did last year, too. You had kind of like a home and home against them, you know, a couple games mixed in. So we'll see. I think the schedule overall is good. I really like the fact, just for the fans, that there's four primetime games. I don't like that as much for myself, you know, as someone who has to stay up till like 2 in the morning, get work done. But, I mean, it comes with the territory. I can't complain. Looking at the schedule, I think they made out pretty well. Just as far as not having Buffalo later, you got a late game against in Philly and also in Green Bay, so those will be some cold games to deal with. But I think overall the schedule is pretty solid. Everything's spaced out. There's not really, you know, a murderer's row like they had last year. But I will tell you that secondary is going to be tested over and over again against these top-level quarterbacks.
Yeah, the one other than the Colts thing, which I just hate. I mean, I wish. I know there's a lot of things that go into these things, but they do like to have division rivals play at the end, and it's so obvious right now. There's a gap, right? I mean, this division is, you got two legit teams, you got two terrible teams. I wish that they would have taken that into account. The one thing I do think is not great for the Titans, TD, is just the early off week. You know, because I just feel like the later you can push that back for a team, you know, the better, because you know you're going to get banged up some teams more than others. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the week 6 bye kind of is what it is. It all depends, you know, because at that point, you know, everybody is somewhat banged up. You know, no one is fresh, so to speak, but at least I had to give them a chance to kind of rest up. And the good thing is it does come – before that game against the Colts here in Nashville.
TD, what are you looking for as the Titans rookies come into town and take the field?
I just want to see, you know, the way the ball comes off of Malik Willis's hands. I want to see how he is taking snaps under center. And just watch him just kind of rolling out and, you know, making the throws with the footwork and everything, because he had worked with Pat O'Hara, the QB coach. He worked with him on Zoom, and I just want to see how they're taking the videos to actual things being executed on the field. I want to see how Treylon Burks is going to, like, how he looks at 6'2", 25. And, you know, that's the measurable, but I want to see what that looks like moving around, getting in and out of breaks and his releases and those type of things. Offensive line, D-line, not really much to look for there. So I can't really comment on that one. You know, until you see those guys in the pads, you don't really see much. But those are two things. I want to see Kyle Phillips, too, that quickness in and out of his breaks. You know, you see it on film, but it's a lot different when you see it in person. So that's really the main thing. Is my first time being able to put my eyes on these guys in person and watch them execute actual football things and just see how they move around. Same thing with McCreary. I want to see that with him.
I mean, this is a big competition today, TD. Who's going to have the best video of, you know, like the, because you know Malik Willis is going to make a couple eye popping throws, right? Yeah. So, but see, you actually like edit videos together and stuff and fade in and out.
Oh,
and stuff
good.
Like, yeah.
I like to do the collages. Yeah, I like to do those. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to go about doing it because I have to do those on my iPhone. I like to do my videos, which is my work phone, but I like to do my videos on my Android. But, yeah, I'll probably be double-fisting it out there.
So, I'm interested, too, in the DBs. You know, I mean, McCreary, like when they picked McCreary, I was like, gosh, they have other needs. But, I mean, I like the addition because I feel like you have a little less pressure now on Caleb Farley and you have a chance to solidify. And to me, if you solidify that group, we could be talking about a really salty defense this year. But what about Theo Jackson? I actually heard you talking with Jared yesterday about in terms of I think someone asked TD, you know, who could be underrated. I thought you had an interesting point about Theo Jackson and the potential role he could have here. Kind of it might really time out perfectly for him.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at him, he's a longer defensive back. He has long arms, and I think he could kind of fill in that role that Dane Cruikshank had. And you look at the tight ends that they face. I mean, you got Dalton Schultz, Travis Kelce, Darren Waller. I mean, the list goes on and on. Dawson Knox, Evan Engram in the Jaguars twice, Mo Alley Cox, Jelani Woods and the Colts twice. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities, Travis Kelce, plenty of opportunities for them to use a guy that, you know, could match up with tight ends. And I think he fills that role because he's longer, he's quicker. I think they could use him to kind of redirect these guys at the line of scrimmage and change things up for the opposing offenses. So that's kind of the role I see him probably playing. And then you also look at what he does on special teams. He could be a dark horse, significant contributor early as a rookie. So I definitely see that as a role for him.
Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, we were talking about this earlier in the show. You think back to, you know, post-Julio trade last year, heading into the season. I mean, we were sitting on this show talking about, are the Titans ever going to be able to sack the quarterback? Is the defense going to be able to stop anyone? And who's going to stop this Titans offense? And it feels like the roles have reversed this year. I expect this Titans defense to be really, really good. And we've had a lot of questions today about the offense on our text line. How do you view the Titans offense as it stands today heading into this season? And if you had to nail down expectations, obviously not knowing what Treylon Burks is going to look like and when Robert Woods is going to be back up to full speed, what would your expectations be for this offense on paper?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really tough because you're not sure exactly how Derrick Henry is going to be. You want to assume and think that he's going to get back to what he was just because of how he is work ethic-wise and just everything about him. You want to really assume that he's going to bounce back. And that's really what they need for him to bounce back. I think it's going to be another situation where, you know, they're running the football a lot and they're working play action off of that. And I think that works well for guys like Burks and Woods because those are guys that could get you yards after the catch. They're guys that, you know, could catch that ball across the middle in traffic, you know, and in Burks' case, you know, make defenders bounce off him and take it the distance. So that's really, I think it's not going to be full of explosive plays. It's just going to be one of those ball control type of offenses, and I could see them winning a lot of 24-20 type of games. That's how I look at it. But I will say this, when you have Burks, you have Woods, you have Chigakonkwo, these are guys that you can move all over the place. So I think they can do some things to create matchup problems with those guys. And even, you know, in 12 personnel with Okonkwo and Austin Hooper on the field, that should really help them. And also Phillips in the slot. I think that's going to be a big-time thing, whether it's Phillips or Mason Kinsey, one of those guys. So I think, it's going to be all about just accumulating time on the clock and then driving long drives, wearing down defenses and kind of going back to what they did in 2018, 2019, that type of offense.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think, you know, to me it's that can work if you're good up front. And I don't know if they can be better up front. I mean, look, Roger Saffold, we know he was banged up. We also know what he is as a run blocker. If you had to guess now, TD, and we, you know, we're gonna learn a lot more in the next few weeks, but especially in August. But what's your starting offensive line for this team, opening day against the Giants?
Man, that is such a tough question because who knows what they're going to do at left guard, right tackle. I'll probably, at this point, I'll say, all right, I'll say LaJuan Raidens, Jones, Davis, Petit Ferrer. That's what I'll say. But
I like it.
I like it.
I think that's a tough call. I'm really confused why they didn't get, I said it yesterday, Nate Herbig, who was released by the Eagles, you know, 23-year-old guard, had, I think it was 11 starts over the last 2 years, and the Eagles released him when they signed Cam Jurgens, but before then they put the tender on him, and it was a $2.5 million contract, and I thought getting a guy like that to compete, at the very least, probably win that left guard spot, then you could kick Raidens out to right tackle. I'm not so sure how Raidens is going to do at guard. You know, it all depends on how much stronger they were able to get him, because, you know, playing in that phone booth, you're blocking those bears, right, and Jeffrey Simmons types, and that's tough to do if strength is something that you have to improve upon. So we'll see.
Yep, no question about it. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. TD, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Right, Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
I totally forgot to ask him about Jared, yelling at Jared.
No.
The audio is amazing.
Oh, good. So, we can do that next.
Yeah, we'll do that next.
Yeah, there you go.
That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Okay, so the first game, the kickoff game, is going to be the Rams and the Bills, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Buffalo plays on Thursday, and then they get the whole week plus the extra time before they play on Monday against the Titans, which that I can live with. But by playing the Giants week one for the Titans are essentially going to have to play the Bills' offense. Buffalo will then be able to watch the tape of the Titans against their offense, albeit with lesser players, but they'll see the defense of what the Titans are trying to do against a team that runs the same offense as the Bills, because Brian Daboll is their coach. And so the Bills, I think, will have an unfair advantage both upon the previous opponent and on the extra time off before they get to play at home on Monday Night Football in week two. And I am convinced that the league wants Buffalo just popping this season. They want Buffalo and Kansas City, and that's why I think they're doing this.
Well, so you think this is WWE, huh?
I don't think it's WWE. I don't think it's the NBA, where, you know, they'll send in Scott Foster to ref games when it's 2-0 in a series. But I do think that I think the Titans are getting the shaft on that first 2 weeks with compared to what Buffalo's doing.
I think it's a case of searching for something. I don't think that's a matter of anybody getting shafted or anything like that. I mean, the schedule is the schedule.
So TD was calm.
You know, Skip Stillman sometimes. Yes. He's.
I love it.
Well, I told him never change. I hope he doesn't. Never change.
Yeah, the sneaky part of that is him. I mean, TD makes the wrestling comment. It's not the NBA either, which is clearly fixed. I mean, thank you, Jared. But, I mean, don't the Titans get to play against the same offense? Is that not help them?
You'd think.
I mean, it's the same offense.
The personnel's
not
slightly
exactly
different.
The same person. I think it's, yeah. Players make plays, Jared. Players make plays.
Hey, maybe that's look, the Titans have had a lot of success against the Bills the last couple of years. Now, they've both been at home when this has happened.
Well, according to some, they've been on the
true,
road.
That's true.
They've been on the road when that's happened.
Could be a role reversal.
Per some people the counting.
The entire
people.
City of Nashville invades Buffalo coming up in September. I mean, if you're going to go to Buffalo, September's probably the time I'd go.
This would be it. Yes.
No, you still wouldn't go.
Not going in December.
Easy on the Buffalo. Come on. Chris on the text line says, please never stop trolling Stillman. Honestly, this was from the text line. I didn't hear this.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that particular segment. I did hear some of TD on there yesterday, but this was someone telling us. Actually, I will say, like, that was funny, but the texture made it sound a little bit more saucy than it was. You know? It wasn't quite. But TD usually keeps it chill with Jared. Every once in a while, when he gets like fired up, that's
pretty awesome.
Gotta love it.
I love when TD gets fired up. I love when Willie gets fired up. It's two of my favorite things.
Willie got fired up this week.
Yeah, he did.
Go Willie.
And when Rex Road gets fired up.
That happens a lot.
I think that AJ Brown was the most fired up 4 hours consistent.
Rex Road was in a mood that day.
I don't feel any different about it.
The floors start yelling.
Well,
go ahead.
I mean, I've said everything I have to say. I mean, we're going through the schedule. What did TD just say? What we said earlier in the show, you have to win 24-20 games. Listen, if you win those games, and you win those games, but I look at their offense and I really have concerns about what they're going to be.
Yeah.
Both because of the offensive line, and that's an interesting. Well, let's put it on you on that. What's your predicted offensive line right now? I mean, right now, so, you know, TD predicting a third round rookie to be starting at right tackle which I think is absolutely possible.
We're going my week one starting offensive line.
Right.
I'll go LaJuan, Jamarco Jones, Ben Jones, Nate Davis, Dylan Radins at right tackle. That's my right now, week one starting lineup.
So we have three different ones.
Okay.
Is everything of yours the same except Aaron Brewer starting at left guard? So three different people, three different potential starting offensive lines. That's a problem.
That's not good.
That's a problem for the Tennessee Titans. And then, again, Robert Woods. What is he in week one? Treylon Burks, what is he in year one? We can go back and forth on all the A.J. Brown was going to be a problem and all that stuff. All I know is they are a very good team, a team that should be considered a contender to some extent in the AFC, and I feel like they are regressing to a very average offense this year on paper. I do like the tight end changes.
I like him in theory too. Now, if it's the Austin Hooper that we've seen the last 2 years in Cleveland, I don't know how much good that's going to do you. Like, it's better than Anthony Firkser of last year, I'd say. Mm-hmm. But you know, he needs to be Atlanta Austin Hooper in this offense. I think, you know, right now, a lot of the strategy offensively, as Corey Curtis would say, is hope. Like, you're hoping Treylon Burks comes in and plays well. You're hoping that Robert Woods heals in time to be ready for game one of the regular season. I have no clue if he's on track to do that or not. I guess we'll find out. But, you know, if those two things happen and Robert Woods is ready to go and Treylon Burks is looking like a good player from the start, then I can see where this offense could be good, because until I see Derrick Henry not look like Derrick Henry anymore, I'm going to assume that he's going to be pretty darn good for the Titans.
That's absolutely essential. And, of course, it's always worth mentioning, and you said earlier in the show, a year ago, we were like, are they ever going to sack a quarterback? Are they ever going to get a stop on third down? And then look what happened to their defense. But remember last offseason, they did invest big in changing that. They went and got Bud Dupree.
Yep.
And you knew they had Simmons. You knew they had Landry. He had a huge year in a contract year. You know, the question, we're questioning an offense that no one can argue got better on paper. They got worse. And already it was a disappointing year. And yes, you start with the quarterback. He had a disappointing year. If you think that you can put it all on him and not put any on the offensive line play, then you're not being honest, or you're not watching the football. Their offensive line regression last year was as big a problem as anything.
Well, and something that we've not talked a lot about, that as we get closer to the season is going to become, I think, a bigger point of conversation. We've talked so much about Tannehill and the interceptions this offseason that basically at this point with some Titans fans, the entire failing of the offense is just on Ryan Tannehill. That's all it is. And I wasn't overly impressed with Todd Downing last year either. And that dynamic of Downing and Tim Kelly, number one, how big of a role is Kelly going to have? I know he's the passing game coordinator. What does that mean? Does he have any say whatsoever in play calls? Like, what does all that mean as they move forward here? Like, this is a big year, obviously, for Todd Downing. And if you're him, you're looking around and you're saying, okay, so you hired Tim Kelly behind me now as the passing game coordinator, and now A.J. Brown's gone. what am I supposed to do with this? This is fun. Love
and,
it.
And you improve my offensive line. Yeah. How? You know, Dylan Radins. There's the hope. Hope he gets way better. Now, Petit Frere.
Yeah.
By the way, we need to – TD said it a different way. I need to go back and look at the pronunciation. I think it's Petit Frere.
I think you're right.
Now,
I'm not doing that, but you're right.
Well, Ben on the text line says, Lawan, Brewer, Jones, Davis, Petit Frere. There's four.
So no Radins.
There's four. So no Radins in the start, which is absolutely possible. And again, Dylan Radins, you know.
If that's the case and Dylan Radins isn't starting this year.
Well, no, it's not good. He's second-round pick last year, but certainly that's possible.
It's possible for sure. I'm just saying if that's the case.
It's not a good deal.
It's not good.
No. And look, he struggled to be active on game days last year. I do think that there are certain circumstances with him that you got to be patient. You know, like there's you can explain, not explain away, but you can look at his entire situation, position change, COVID, you're not on the field at all, level of play in college, all that stuff, and see how you could see a big jump this year. But you better see a big jump, because even if he's a starter, but like, he's a starter by default. Oh, what is this offensive line going to be? And if this offensive line isn't better, or, I mean, really, it needs to be better. But if it isn't as good or it's similar, what is that going to mean for Ryan Tannehill? I mean, some people are going to be like, well, I don't want to hear excuses for Tannehill. And that's fine. I mean, if he doesn't play well this year, I think that they'll move on from him. But you really have not done – I mean, be great around Tannehill? I don't think that they've done those things.
Yeah. It's certainly easy to say that maybe they haven't. Offensive line, a big question. Now wide receiver, a big question. And you're hoping that the tight ends work out. And then there's Derrick Henry. That continues to be one of the most amazing parts to me about this Titans offseason is we've not spent a whole lot of time talking about Derrick Henry. And it's not just us. Like, most people are talking about Tannehill and all these other things. Like, there is your superstar running back, your best player that is coming back off a major injury. How does that work?
I know we probably do these, like, between teams comparisons too often. Like, A.J. Brown at Forsberg, it's kind of an obvious one. But with this Titans offense, I think of Forsberg. Like, if the Preds sign Forsberg, then okay, then they're at a certain level, and then, you know, there's still a lot of things to find out. That's the same way I look at this Titans offense. Like, you just have to assume with the Preds, you're assuming Forsberg in the lineup, and then what can they do to improve? With the Titans, I'm assuming Derrick Henry, 1,500-yard type season.
Yep.
And even then, I have questions about the passing game and have enough balance and all that stuff. If he's not that, or if Forsberg's not here, watch out.
Coming up next, it's time for Weekend Winners. We've got some picks for you this weekend. Lots of playoff action going on in the NBA and the NHL as well. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. The NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, well underway. Got a whole lot going on in both this weekend. Major League Baseball, you can take it any way you want to take it this weekend with Weekend Winners. Joe Rex Road, let's get a quick standings update before we begin the competition today.
Okay, so you guys had some cancellations. So
friggin' rain last
week. You both
went
3-2, I went 3-3. Michelle, the only one who got her lock, so... Yep.
Thank you, Chase McCabe.
Yes. Shout out to Chase.
So at this point, Robbie, you are in first at 42-29. 8-4 in your locks, 50 points. I'm 42-30, also 8-4, also 50 points, but you have a higher winning percentage. Michelle, creeping up, 32-39, 35 points, 3-9 in your locks. I think that's two locks in a row after the brutal lock start. So,
wait, how many points? I'm 15 points behind you guys?
Correct.
Ugh, yes. I suck.
Well, you know.
Plenty of time.
A couple big weeks, and you just never know. So, there we go.
All right. So, with that in mind, Michelle and I will have one extra individual pick today to get back to even on the games played. And probably just need to avoid picking baseball, so we'll avoid rainouts as we move forward as well. All right. Let's get started on Grizzlies and Warriors. Warriors favored by 8 coming up in Game 6. I'll start on this one. Give me the Warriors. I think the Warriors bounce back in a big way. I think they'll cover the 8 points barely. I think Warriors win by about 9 or 10 tonight. I think Steph is going to shoot the lights out. And I like how the Grizzlies have played without Ja, but ultimately, I think that's going to catch up to him. I think the Warriors win. They cover the 8 points tonight. Joe Rex Road, Warriors favored by 8.
I'm going to go Grizzlies. I think the Warriors are going to win the game, But I think it might be a game kind of like game four, which was really tight defensive game. I think the Grizzlies have really figured something out here, going big, dominating on the boards. I think they're going to give them a heck of a run to try to get this to seven. I think the Warriors will ultimately win a squeaker. So give me the Grizzlies in the eight.
Michelle Knezevic, Warriors and Grizzlies coming up in game six. Warriors favored by eight.
You guys already know how I feel about this matchup. I think the Grizz are taking it back to Memphis for game seven. So I definitely think that they're going to cover the plus eights and lock it down for me, guys.
Yeah, I was wondering if you're going to lock it.
There we go. Locking down on the Memphis Grizzlies. So we'll see what happens on that front tonight. All right, we've got at least three game sevens in the NHL in the Stanley Cup playoffs in the first round. We could have as many as six. We'll see what happens today in those games. But let's just go with the three that we know. Starting tomorrow with the Boston Bruins and the Carolina Hurricanes. Joe Rexroad, lead us off. Boston and Carolina in a series where the home team has been very dominant so far.
I'm going to stick with call your shot, even though I probably should just hedge my bets and, you know, like call a shot and then go against it in weekend winners. I mean, that has happened before.
It has.
But I'll stick with it. I think the Canes are better. They should win. They've been destroying the Bruins at home, but game seven's different. And the Canes, you know, they're a little bit fragile, I feel like, sometimes. And I think the Bruins are going to, in an overtime or two, pull the shocker.
Michelle Knezevic, Boston and Carolina coming up in game seven tomorrow in Raleigh.
Give me Boston as well. Boston sports are rolling. I also think the Celtics are going to win too. So give me the Bruins for no other reason than go Boston sports.
I mean, you just went up there and ripped all of them
wearing white socks gear.
That's true.
I'm a major bandwagon fan because I really don't have a home, okay? Because
cool.
New York sports are just not it.
By the way, go White Sox since Ryan got us coffee.
Whoa.
Big day.
Big day,
for
Joe.
One day, I'll root for the White Sox.
Big day here on the program. I'm going Carolina. I think the trend continues. I think Carolina's better. Now, that doesn't always mean that you win. And I do think there's a lot of pressure on Carolina to win this game because they've been an ascending team now for a while. They made a magical run to the conference finals a few years ago, and they've been trying to get back to that point. If they don't, you're going to start to look around and say, okay, what's going on with this core here? I think they respond. I think they win, but I think it's going to be close. I'll give it the Hurricanes a one-goal victory. They hold on late, win 3-2 in regulation. So I'll go Carolina in Game 7. The most interesting Game 7 of the night, Tampa Bay and Toronto. Back in Toronto, Ontario. Michelle, let's start with you. The Leafs and the Lightning, who do you have winning Game 7?
Tampa all the way. I think they're going to make a run in the playoffs. And, yeah, I have no doubt on that one. Sorry, Toronto.
This is a case of betting with my heart, and I'm going to do it anyway because I don't care. I really need to see some total destruction of the Toronto Maple Leafs coming up tomorrow night. So I'm going to go with the Lightning winning this game, and it will be one of the most Maple Leafs things of all time. Joe Rexroad, Lightning and the Leafs coming up in Game 7.
I mean, this is probably just totally misguided by me. But you know what? The Leafs have been better. I think
they have been better
in this series more than not. I mean, they've been the better team. And you know what? To quote Adrian Dater, sometimes you just got to say bleep it, man. I think they're going to say bleep it and just be the better team, and all of Canada can rejoice other than all the Canadians who hate the Maple Leafs, which is quite a
significant number
of people.
Other part of Canada, every other part.
There is that. All right, Game 7 between the LA Kings and the Edmonton Oilers. A surprise run for the Kings to get to this point, although I did say I had Edmonton at 7 before the series. So I'll just go on start. I'll go with the Oilers. Connor McDavid goes nuts, and the Oilers pull it out. Joe Rexroad, Kings and Oilers, which, by the way, if this goes the Kings' way, this could be a massive night of, like, ridiculous stuff happening in Canada. Can you imagine if the Oilers and the Leafs screw it up on the same night?
Oh,
Joe, the Oilers and the Leafs in Game 7.
They'll be down to Calgary only.
Yes.
I'm going to go Oilers. And, you know, look, honestly, I'll be honest – I want the Oilers to win, too. Like, it's a lot more interesting playoff if they advance and we get to see McDavid. Yeah. But I think they're going to win.
I think I said Oilers and Leafs. They're not playing each other. Oilers and Kings. Michelle Knezevic, Oilers and Kings.
We know what you meant.
I'm on the same path as Joe. I want to see McDavid keep playing in these playoffs, so give me the Oilers.
So the Oilers in Game 7. All right, we move to the individual portion of the program. Michelle Konezvic, your first individual selection.
Okay, I'm going to MLB. Cincinnati Reds are actually favored by 1.5 over the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Good Lord. Wow.
The Cincinnati Reds absolutely suck so bad. Will they even win 20 games? I'm not sure. Ryan Porth.
Are you listening, Ryan Porth?
I'm really sorry, but give me Pittsburgh all the way on that one.
Going Pittsburgh over the Cincinnati Reds.
What a juicy matchup that is.
Good gracious. I'm sure the dozens in attendance will enjoy that one. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Going NBA playoffs, of course. Celtics, Bucks. Bucks minus 1.5. Bucks lock, and I mean, I feel as locky as I could feel about a lock on this one.
Well, I was going to make this exciting, but I had the same pick and I had the same lock. The Bucks lock against the Boston Celtics. I think Boston totally screwed it up the other night, and I will go Milwaukee on a lock, minus 1.5 against the Boston Celtics tonight. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection and your final one.
Yep, so I'm going to Game 7 on Sunday. I think the NBA should probably go ahead and have a nice primetime Game 7 Saturday, Mavs Suns, instead of having no basketball. With three game sevens in hockey. But hey, you know, they're too busy fixing games and sending officials to various
Scott
games.
Foster.
Ah, we need this outcome. Let's send this ref to this one. It's great analysis. Mavs Suns. I don't see a line, but whatever. I'm taking
minus
the Mavs.
Minus six Suns.
Oh, good. Well, I'll take the six. Give me the Mavs and six.
I like it. Going with Luka in Game 7.
But I think they're going to win outright.
I know.
I think Luka's going to get it done. Chris Paul is struggling mightily.
Robbie's favorite player.
And I don't know what that is exactly, but give me the Mavs. Plus
there you
six.
Go. All right, Michelle Konezvic, your second individual selection.
Well, considering the NBA is fixed, the Bucks and the Celtics are going to Game 7. Give me the Celtics plus the 1.5, guys.
There you go. So Boston plus the 1.5.
Going against our lock.
Yeah. Yes. I will stick in the NHL for my second individual selection. Flames and Stars coming up tonight in Game 6. This is when it's over. Calgary takes down Dallas tonight in Game 6. We're going to be robbed of six Game 7s. I think Calgary is the team tonight that wins on the road, and they will end this series. I'll go ahead and get us started with my final individual selection as well. Washington wins tonight in Game 6 against Florida, and there will be a Game 7 in that series. Washington, I've been very impressed with the way that they played. They've hung around in this series. Now, Florida looked a little better the last two games.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Washington figures it out, forces a Game 7 tonight. So I would take the Caps against the Cats. Michelle Konezvic, your final individual selection.
And finally, finishing up with NBA, I'm going to actually take the Dallas Mavericks plus the 6, but I say the Suns win on a buzzer beater by Devin Booker.
Okay.
Three-pointer.
Oh,
calling it.
Got to get BBN in there somehow.
Got to get it in there somehow.
So the Suns win on a buzzer beater by Devin Booker, but taking the Mavs plus 6. I like it.
Yep.
This has been Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rexroad. Joe, you feeling good about your picks?
Not really. Actually, I feel like I probably screwed up with the Bruins and the Leafs. But, hey, let's roll with it.
Let's see what happens on that front. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Nashville's own Big Machine Distillery wants to send you to the inaugural Tennessee Whiskey Trail Experience to celebrate International Tennessee Whiskey Day coming up on May 21st at Nissan Stadium. Text WHISKEY to 615-737-1025. That's WHISKEY to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of tickets. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Final segment of the day. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Michelle Konezvic. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, some news on the Predators front. Roman Josi named a finalist for the Ted Lindsay Award, which is the most outstanding player in the NHL as voted on by NHLPA members. So basically, It's the Hart Trophy voted on by players is basically what it comes down to. So Yossi has been nominated alongside Austin Matthews of Toronto and Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers. So pretty good company there for Roman Yossi.
Yeah. Different voting sect. But see, when you say sect as an individual, it's fine. We don't talk about various sects. All right. Michelle. Does that
have a good weekend, everybody?
Yeah. All right, good night, everybody. Does that tell us anything about the Norris? Little hint, maybe?
I think he's going to win. I think he's going to win the Norris. I don't have any inside knowledge on that. Just the momentum that he generated coming down the stretch. I think he's going to win. And I was thinking about this the other day.
The first round doesn't count, folks.
It does not. If the first round counted, let me just tell you. Not that Yossi was bad in the first round, because I didn't think he was. Makar was like, whew.
Was good absurd.
Gracious. It was absurd how good he was in the first round. But that does not count in the voting. I was thinking about this yesterday, because I'm looking at Yossi's career and trying to project, like, is he going to end up in the Hall of Fame? That's what I'm trying to kind of project here. If he gets his second Norris Trophy, you're well on your way to building a pretty good Hall of Fame case if you're Roman Yossi.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think that resume is going to be built quite well. But yeah, load up on stuff while you can. It all counts. Real quick, you know, because we're running out of time, so let me just talk about frivolous stuff.
You do whatever you want.
Staples and Wasserman on their podcast did the five chains you have to eat at the rest of your life. You and I have both weighed in on these.
Yeah.
I got Jeff Greer just coming after me. Jeff Greer, Louisville media legend, coming after me on In-N-Out Burger. Don't even come at me, Jeff Greer. In-N-Out Burger is elite. Don't even get me started on In-N-Out Burger.
Kind of overrated, though.
Dude, it's not overrated at all. It's not overrated. Double, single, animal style with chilies. Have that burger, and then you tell me it's overrated.
No, I've had it.
You've had the double single animal style with chilies?
Yeah, it's great, but not for the rest of my life.
I don't believe you.
I've got a burger place in my top five.
Earmuffs.
Yes. I got a burger place in my top five. It's not In-N-Out.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's Five Guys.
And I like Five Guys a lot. I don't quibble with that. Really, the only – It's the
Whataburger In-N-Out. Yeah, that's people fired
that
up.
One just – I can't – I don't – understand that at all, but some people are bullish about it.
Also, Jets Pizza, Joe.
Oh, heck yeah, Detroit style pizza. Have you ever had that?
Yes,
it's good.
It's fine.
I mean, so here's the thing: it's the rest of your life. So
remember, my family will blacklist it forever. But it's good.
I didn't realize that. But it's for the rest of your life. So don't you have to have like a pizza place on there somewhere? So of the chains, what are you picking?
Oh, pizza? I don't know.
I mean, you don't have to, but to me, I don't want to go my whole life without pizza anymore.
I have a pizza place at number five on my list, and it's not necessarily because I think it's in my top five. It's because I don't want to go the rest of my life without pizza.
Right.
That's why
I think
it's in
I
there.
Could do. Jimmy John's is for sure on my list.
Jimmy John's. Hey. I'm not number one on my list.
Now that you said that, I'm like, I wish I would have put them there, but yeah. Number one, yeah, I know. Yeah, we'll never guess who you are.
Which Blake Topmeyer has liked my list, so I'm going to assume that means that Blake Topmeyer, friend of the show, in full agreement. Cracker Barrel, Texas Roadhouse, Five Guys, Taco Bell, Fox's Pizza Den.
Blake says he's in full agreement with your whole list.
He just liked it, so I'm going to assume that means he's in full agreement.
All right, fair enough.
Cane's. Have you guys ever had Cane's?
I've never had it. I've heard of it.
It's fine. We should we should save this for Choices Yours next week.
Yeah, we should.
Some form of it, whoever's turn it is.
Or on July 18th when we have only WWE to talk about.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you know, as we go into the summer, Gover on the text line was like, you know, you guys need to do like a show of crispy stories. I think some kind
okay,
of...
Okay, what kind of stories are we talking about here?
Yeah.
And who's telling them?
Yeah. FCC approved.
Get the extra delay going on this. But I do think some kind of... I mean, there are so many by him, one, right? I mean, he has an endless supply of stories.
Yeah.
But also about him, there are incredible stories.
Well, one day, if we wanted to basically take the show off while still working, we could get Pete and Crispy in here at the same time, and I would bring us back into break and then just let them go.
I like that idea.
I'm not going to get in the way.
That would be amazing.
And just Joe could say, story time.
Yeah, you just go.
That would be amazing. Also, can we play, in my story, I tried to embed the Cale Hulse audio, but they didn't embed it for me. I mean, we got to play that. We don't have time the rest. We're gonna, next week, I'm playing it.
That's fine.
Well, there's nothing wrong. I mean, it's just a slip of the. You don't know the story?
No. We'll tell you off the air.
You want to play it on the air yet? You can't tell me.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, we don't have time to explain the whole thing. Now, I haven't played the audio for you. I mean, every once in a while, I have Pete send it to me.
Oh, when Crispy can't stop laughing. Yes. Yes, you've played it for me.
Okay, yes. Cale Hulse, married to Baywatch's own.
Bread's legend.
What's his wife's name?
I don't know.
God dang it.
I've seen it 100 times. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
They've played it for her, too, by the way.
Yes.
What, Baywatch is more my area? Everybody loves Baywatch. Come on.
I mean, I'm old. I'm not that old.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it that long ago? I guess it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, you were. Gina Lee Nolan.
Yes, the good Lord.
Gina Lee Nolan, Baywatch legend. Cale Hulse, Preds legend. And the audio of this is
Hall of Fame.
It is. I cry. Katie and I. Every once in a while, I just play it at home, and Katie and I will cry laughing about it. It's that good.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, the mailman, texting in, says In-N-Out is completely overrated. No, Five Guys is 100% better, which I agree with. I agree that Five Guys is better. I don't think that In-N-Out is overrated. NY Pie eclipses any other chain down here.
See, there's a lot of chains that are being thrown around here, including one of yours and a couple that Ari had on his list. I've never heard of. I mean, sometimes like you have a quote-unquote like a local chain that's like two or three places. Does that count?
Yeah, like how do we define chain?
To me, it's like something that at least regionally people know about.
Yeah.
You know? yeah.
Is Burger Republic a chain?
Did you just give up?
No, I don't think so. That's it. I don't think so.
Five Guys chain. Well,
there's like two of them, right? That doesn't count. I mean, I like that, but that doesn't count, right? No. Chase says no. The suit says no.
Well, we're talking at the beginning of the segment about Roman Yossi's path to the Hall of Fame. Put this freaking segment in the Hall of Fame. That's how it goes.
Seriously. And especially because we're talking about an audio clip and then we don't actually play it for you. So now you can think all weekend about how funny it must be. Take our word for it.
That's right. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back Monday morning at 6 o'clock. The DDC up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.